You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Excelsior! Hey everybody, Kevin Goatee, Gutting the Sacred Cow. How's it going? We've got Dave Williams this week on the show from Barstool Sports, Barstool Radio Chicago on Sirius XM. Give that a listen to. Join the show to take on an absolute cult fan favorite, Step Brothers. That's right, Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly. Did he convince us that movie's a steaming pile of horse shit? I don't know, but I tell you what I do know. Gutting the Sacred Cow shirts are awesome. Whoa, look at that one. Did I show you that shirt last week? Probably. Can't find the other one. In the wash. GuttingTheSacredCow.com. Check it out. Thank you so much for all your support and love. You've been sharing those five-star ratings and two-sentence reviews. We love posting them. My favorite one I've seen so far, Katie the Superfan, gave me a great review on my teeth. I do take care of them. I do brush and bleach them once a year. The Crest chips work wonders. And wear your retainer if you still have one, folks. It does wonders as well. GuttingTheSacredCow.com. Every day of the week, we've got new articles out there for your perusal. And that's that. Listen, enjoy Step Brothers. We can't thank you so much for being a friend of ours. We love you. That sounded pretty mafioso-like, right? A friend of ours. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Enjoy the show.
Gather around. What I know, it's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kind of like it, yeah, it's trending right now.
Yeah, that doesn't
matter, cause we're gutting the sacred cow.
The new phone books are here! The new phone books are here! Kevin Israel, name that film.
You know, I know I should know that one.
You should.
And, nope, I'm not going to get it.
Fucking Burn in Hell. The 1978 or 79 classic, The Jerk, starring Steve Martin.
Oh, God, I haven't seen that movie in fucking 20 years.
Yeah, but so Caddyshack's been out for 40 years, and the quotes still flow, so the quotes fly for that one. So
I don't think I've ever quoted The Jerk.
Really? Ah, that's a good one. Quotable. Dave Williams, you ever quote The Jerk? You a fan?
I haven't seen it in forever, but yeah, I mean, that's like, and he's OG. He's like an OG comedian, and he goes beyond that. Like, he's great stand-up. Have you ever seen him play the banjo?
Sure. He's marvelous.
He's like unbelievably talented. So yeah, the Jerk, I mean, that dates back to like my dad. You guys said you're 43?
Yeah. Zing! And reminding us early how...
I mean, I had to
do it. You old fucks.
Once you're over 30, it doesn't really matter how old you are. We're all old, you know?
Oof.
Yeah, tell me how you feel about that statement at 40.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you in 9 years. Well, 10 years in a month.
You son of a bitch. That voice you hear is Dave Williams of Barstool Radio. Dave, shout out Barstool. Where else can we find you besides Barstool? What else are you up to?
So we have a series show 2 to 3 p.m. Central every day. You guys are on the East Coast, so 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. Barstool Chicago Radio, we don't really talk about Chicago that much, which is why I don't necessarily like the title, because I feel like it, you know, turns people off a little bit. Then we have our Chicago podcast. It's just strictly Chicago sports, pop culture, food, anything else Chicago. That's Redline Radio. And then on the blog, barstoolsports.com. And, yeah, that's basically it. And then the Twitter sphere at White Sox Dave and all that.
Dave came on here to take a big, steaming, hearty dump on the 2005 film Step Brothers. Kevin Israel, did you know what the budget was of this film? No, you didn't. I'll tell you. $65 million at the time, bringing in a haul of $128 million.
$20 million seems a lot for that movie.
65 exact for that? That is
a lot. That was all salary.
Yeah. Or booze. And 2020 numbers, a budget of $79.5 million with a haul of $156.6 in today's dollars.
It's not too shabby.
Nice little $100 million ORI.
Not you're damn right. IMDb, as we all know, is scale is 1 through 10 with decimal points. We'll go to our guest, Dave. Dave, what do you think Step Brothers got on the old IMDb scale? Again, 1 through 10 with decimal points.
So I'll start by saying this. You guys came to the right person to shit on things, because I got a reputation now of shitting on things that are very popular.
Welcome to the party, pal.
But people think I'm, like, trolling a lot of times, and there is some element of it. I'm guessing it's high because everybody loves it. I hate the movie so much, mostly because I think people are so stupid that they like it. If it was just, like, properly rated according to how I think the movie is, I wouldn't really hate it that much. But it is so universally loved that it makes me hate it even more, because I just think people are dumb when they like it.
Very interesting.
I'll give it a 7.1. I'll say it's something around there on IMDb.
Kevin Israel.
I think it's going to be lower. I think it's going to be like a 6.1.
6.9, dudes.
Wow.
Okay, IMDb, is that like by critics or users?
Users. Okay. So now what we're going to do is now we're going to the Rotten Tomatoes critic score. Kevin Israel, why don't you take this one first?
Rotten Tomatoes critics, it's definitely going to be low. I'm going to go a 5.4.
Well, percentages of Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, 54.
54. Dave, give me your percentage.
I think it'll be lower as well. I'll say Rotten Tomatoes, it's more like 64, 65.
Kevin Israel, you win both showcases. 55. One away. By the way, the aforementioned Bill Schultz, fellow White Sox fan, I text him because he's a huge fan of the podcast, and he'll be on again in a couple weeks. And I said, hey, we got a guy coming on tomorrow doing Step Brothers. Quote, I already fucking hate him. More and more, I think it's one of the better comedies ever. So, Bill Schultz, get ready, buddy.
Oh, he knows, because I've talked about how much I hate this movie for years now.
Right. Audience score, Dave Williams. What do you think it scored on Rotten Tomatoes with the audience?
I'm going to say like 78.
Kevin Israel?
Yeah, I was going to go in the 70s. I say 72.
69, bro. Yeah. 69, dude. Wow. Excuse me. 69 IMDb, 6.9, and then 69 audience. That's hilarious.
I feel like it's probably dropped over the years.
I would say so, but I have some facts about that later on.
And right. I mean, I don't want to give anything away because we spoke through email a little bit, but I don't really know anybody else who hates Will Ferrell movies just like I do. And I don't know if I've ever met someone that is like, oh, Step Brothers sucks. Like,
wait till we get to those Amazon one-star reviews, Dave. I guarantee you are not alone. Let's go to the quotes, Kevin Israel. I will start off. John Bonham can play Moby Dick for real now. Next one with watching the porno mags. It's like jerking off in a time machine. Randy Jackson signed my sword. Hi, my name is Jim. Want to suck my dick for money? Quotes from you, Kevin.
You know, I fucking didn't take, I mean, the whole movie is one giant quote. The one that I did write down that, was one of the lines that made me laugh was, hey, Derek, spuckin' the dick.
Dave, any quotes that jumped out to you?
You stole two of them from me.
Yeah.
So I like quickly, I had, when I was taking notes on it, I had like a list of concessions, meaning like shit I actually did laugh at, which I don't want to admit. Like, and I was going to rewatch the movie, but I'm like, you know what? Fuck that. I hate this movie. I'm not rewatching it. So this is going off memory. But when they're in the treehouse and he said, just like jerking off in or masturbating in a time machine, I'll never not laugh at that line. It was hilarious. And then in the beginning when he's like, I smoked weed with Johnny Hopkins.
Yeah. John Hopkins and Sloan Kettering.
Yeah, Sloan Kettering. That was funny.
And I mean, there's a couple of like good lines, but we'll get to the shit I hate after that, I guess.
Oh, we will. Now it's time for five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Whoa, five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts.
Will Ferrell's fake testicles cost $10,000, by the way, and he kept them.
Was that in the original movie, The Nuts?
I guess.
Because I did rewatch it, and I was very surprised when I don't remember actually seeing his nuts.
I rewatched it too.
I saw the theater.
Yeah. You did? I didn't see the theater.
What the fuck are they made out of where they're real?
Homeless earlobes. Homeless people's earlobes.
Are you okay?
No, I completely made that up.
That wouldn't have shocked me. Like, you pay a bunch of bums to like chop off your ears, Vincent Van Gogh style.
You want to spend the night in the hotel, or you want to spend the night in the homeless shelter? It's up to you. Give me your fucking earlobes.
Exactly. Go ahead for the next year.
Yeah, what do homeless people need earlobes for, right? Not to hang diamond-studded earrings. The original cut of the film was, ready for this? 5 hours long.
Holy fuck.
And 1.5 million feet of film were shot.
Because it's just fucking them improvising.
Yes, it is. Number three, there was almost, and thank God there was not, a rap album based on a Boats and Hoes theme with Rihanna and Katy Perry. Everyone backed out for scheduling, but I'd like to think that it was common sense that prevailed.
To me, that was like, it was a catchy song and it was funny. I hate admitting that, but it was fucking funny. But, I mean, going back to, you said they had over 5 hours of footage shot and 1.5 million or whatever.
The original cut of the film was 5 hours long.
And that's how long, what is it, an hour and a half, hour 45 or whatever, the final cut?
96 minutes.
Yeah, so an hour and a half, like, that's the best they could come up with out of 5 hours of fucking.
My thing is, it says 5 hours long, the original cut, Apatow produces. That's about half as normal cuts. Gross. Adam Scott got the role, as we know, as the brother to Ferrell. Thomas Lennon went for the role as well, but did not obviously get it. Want to take a stab who also went for that role? Adam Scott got as the brother. I'll give you one of hints. Had a huge TV show in the 2000s and has done comedic acting before. Another hint, he's a white guy.
I was going to say somebody from Friends. I feel like
David Schwimmer or something.
I was going to say Chandler. I didn't blank on his name.
No, John Hamm was a guy who got it. Who went for it and did not get it? John Hamm. If I would have said huge cock, you'd have been like, oh, okay, it's John Hamm. Or Lexington Steel. The notes section here, the guest argument section, sponsored by the merch store here at guttingthesacredcow.com. Take a pick. With your Gutting the Sacred Cow merch shirt on, and we'll feature you on our social media. But don't forget, guttingthesacredcow.com, tank tops, tees, water bottles, bags, no N95 masks, because hopefully we're coming to the end of coronavirus. But enough of all that horse shit. It's the time where everyone gets to enjoy our guest getting ready to gut
the sacred cow.
So, like, I found it hard for me to pick out why I really hate the movie, other than it's just not funny to me. And the humor is, like, not real-life humor. Like, for instance, the whole scene with, like, the bully where the kid makes him eat the dog shit that's, I think it's just puppy chow, right? Like that, you know, that
Chex white dog shit.
It was actually, I think it was a powdered donut, I think they said.
Powdered donut, whatever it was. like, I'm like, and people are laughing their asses off it because I saw it in the theaters. And I'm like, why do people think this is funny? This is stupid. Like, these are grown men in their 40s. Why don't they just beat their fucking faces in if they want to? Not that you should give a shit what a 12 or 14-year-old the kid is says about you anyways. But you're a man. Fucking beat their ass if you want. Like, don't – like, it just, like, didn't compute in my head. And then number two, like, I grew up in a really rich suburb of Chicago, but I was always, like, the super blue-collar kid. Like, all my friends' parents were lawyers, doctors, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, investment bankers and all this. My mom was a fucking server, and my dad was a construction worker. Not, like – these, like, these guys are, like, slow almost. And, like, it's just not realistic to me. I feel like the only way to get through that movie and find it really funny is if you're just, like, high off your ass smoking weed. Like, but if I'm just sitting there on, like, a Tuesday night and watch it, if it's on, like, TBS or whatever, I feel like it's on TBS all the time, it's, like, I'm not going to watch it. Like, I'm not going to watch it sober. I'm not going to watch it unless I'm, like, under the influence of marijuana. And in that instance, I can see it maybe, like, being a lot funnier, but it's not. And then after that, like, the writing wasn't any good. Like, going from, like, absolutely hating each other and having this, like, not, I don't want to call it sibling rivalry because they, like, met each other, like, and then all of a sudden hated each other. But having that rivalry and then going to being best friends at the snap of a finger, I, like, it just stunk to me. The whole thing's top to bottom really stunk. So that's, like all I have on it, really. But, yeah, like I said, I do have a list of concessions that I'm like, okay, this is funny. But, yeah, that's all I do. I hate the fucking movie, and I hate 99% of Will Ferrell movies. I could go on a rabbit hole. Like, the kicking and screaming, that's probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
That was a soccer movie. Was a soccer coach?
Yeah, with Ditko, who's like a fucking saint in Chicago. I wish he never did it because it sullied his name. The ice skating movie with John Heder, Blades of Glory,
yeah.
Fucking terrible, horrible, awful movie. I didn't like Talladega Nights. I thought that movie stunk. What are some of the other ones?
Anchorman.
I honestly didn't even really like Anchorman. And another thing, fuck Elf 2. That movie fucking sucks. People fucking put it on this like Mount Rushmore deified pedestal for Christmas movies. That movie fucking blows too. I fucking hate that movie. And Step Brothers is like, it's all the same humor. It's like, I don't want to say meant for adults, but it's meant for people that like, can't grasp what funny actually is, which apparently is a lot of people.
So you did not see Holmes and Watson either then?
I have not seen that one. Actually, so many, this is right.
How about that? Wow.
Right at the start of COVID, people rip into me because I have this take and I say it loudly and I say it proudly that Will Ferrell movies blow. They're like, all right, watch The Other Guys with Wahlberg, who I also think stinks. And that movie was actually hilarious. I'll give him that one. I thought it was fucking hilarious. So
we're just talking about The Other Guys. The scene where Mark Wahlberg realizes that, was it Eva Menendez was the wife?
Eva Menendez.
Rips on he's her. Like, no, really, who the fuck is she? That whole scene is hysterical.
The whole TLC.
Yeah.
Like storyline. I don't know.
You're doing it again.
Yeah. And he's like, you're singing that song. Like,
guys, don't go chasing waterfalls.
It makes no sense at all, but it was fucking hilarious. But yeah, and his whole like how he's this dorky fucking ugly looking nerd who works for the police force and his wife's this smoking hot curvy Latina chick and he just puts her down constantly and she wears it. It's fucking hilarious. But that's the only, other than when he's in Sidewalls, like Ashley Schaefer from Eastbound and Down, hilarious. Chaz from Wedding Crashers, hilarious. Frank the Tank from Old School, hilarious. But when he's the lead, those movies blow. And I'll take that to the grave.
What else about this film specifically got your nuts in a knot? You said the writing sucked. What were some of the jokes that you think that people are always quoting that you're just like confused? Like, how the fuck do you think that's funny?
I mean, I don't expect a movie like that. Like, I go in knowing what it is. When I watch those times, I'm not expecting like an Aaron Sorkin, like, you know, just incredibly written piece that I'm going to be wowed by. But I want to laugh, you know? And the scene, like the whole scene when they're in the beds laying next to each other and they're like yelling at each other. Not yelling, they're like whispering, but whispering loudly. And he's like, I'll fill up a sack of, or a pillowcase and with a sack of or bars of soap and beat the shit out of you. Or great movies from that time, like 40-Year-Old Virgin, like so relatable. There's like, it's a real story. What's another one? Knocked Up is great. Superbad, I absolutely love. Like shit like that is just like relatable to me. And I don't think this movie, I think it's just like, they try to suspend reality, and but at the same time, it's like supposed to be a real life movie. And it just doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Kevin Israel, why don't you start off with your points?
Alrighty. So for me, this movie is like that person you used to hook up with back in the day and you remember them being amazing. And then after a couple of years, you run across them again and you go home with them and you hook up with them and it's awesome. And then right afterwards, you remember why you couldn't stand them, because they just keep talking and they won't leave and they don't get the hint. That's exactly how I feel about this movie. When Kev told me you were picking Step Brothers, I was like, I love that fucking movie. It's hysterical. And I remember, and I know that over the years I've watched snippets of it when it's on cable and laughed. But now I realize I laugh at the little snippets, the same pieces. And I don't think I've ever watched that whole movie through since I saw it in the theater. And it's not a whole movie. It's not even three quarters of a movie. It's a really long SNL skit they got to the point where they're like, we need to end this somehow. And they came up with the most crack ass ending that made just absolutely no sense. Kevin and I have talked about this in the past. I feel like comedies fall into, and I haven't figured out how to define it yet, but you have comedies where it's real people in real world situations, like The Hangover. Like those are all real people doing real things that just end up in a crazy situation.
Right.
And then you have a movie like that. Then you have movies where most of the world is real, and then you have these cartoon characters, which I think kind of like Dumb and Dumber falls into. Everybody else is living their real life, and then you have these two cartoon characters. This movie seems like it should have been that, but everybody else is kind of a cartoon character when it suits the joke. And then other times they're like real people. And I think that the fact that it never decided what dynamic it wanted as far as the universe it was happening in really kind of ruins a lot of the joke, and it just starts to feel like it's dragged out. For me, the first third of the movie is funny. When they first meet as brothers, as stepbrothers, and they have to, and they're dealing with each other and they hate each other and the whole thing. I think a lot of it's really funny. There's a lot of little nuanced jokes that I thought was funny when Will Ferrell is driving with his mom in the beginning of the movie and he's in the back seat. That I thought that was hysterical. And it's just such a subtle joke that I don't even think I picked up on the first time. And when I realized it this time, I started laughing.
You don't notice that until I'd never noticed until you brought it up right there. And yes, that's funny.
Yeah. There's some little subtle jokes that are funny. I think the whole thing with the wife wanting to fuck John C. Reilly, I thought that was just really funny because does such a good job being the asshole brother. And
Adam Scott.
And I hate that at the end, he sort of comes around. He should have stuck just being the asshole for the whole, like that was such a, that was the probably the best character in the whole movie.
I agree. Like,
he was such a specific character that we kind of all know. And the scene where they're singing and then they get to, and you're like, this is ridiculous. And then you find out that the wife just hates her life the whole time. And she just wants to fuck this idiot. That to me, that was really funny. As a stand-up comic, I loved when Adam Scott screamed through the minivan, "Babe, Dane Cook, pay-per-view, 20 minutes.
Laughed my balls off. That didn't hold up well, did it?
But you know what? It did now, because it's even, you know, like knowing what time did to Dane Cook. Because I think even at, this was 2005.
Yeah.
That's when
I guess he was still pretty big.
Yeah. He was on the descent, the beginning of the descent at that point, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, there are some scenes that I'll always think are funny in this. The whole interview scene, the little interview montage, I think was pretty funny. It proved with that scene where John C. Reilly, or were they both there, where they're interviewing Seth Rogen and he farts?
Yeah,
it was both of them. And it's just the longest part. That just proves that farts will always be funny. I laughed my ass off at that. And then he's like, "Did you fart?" And he's like, like that. There were a lot of like little jokes that will always make me laugh. The father freaking out and calling them jagaloons. I don't know why that made me laugh, but it's not even a word. and I'm going to use it now forever. But once you get past probably what is 25 to 30 minutes of actually funny material, the whole movie's a mess. It has no plot. It has no sense of unity or coordination. You're right. They go from hating each other to just immediately loving each other just because he punched him in the face, which I kind of get, but there was too much hate and then just immediate the movie as a whole didn't work for me. It felt like I said, it felt like a really long dragged out SNL skit. That movie could have been probably 50 minutes and would have been served a lot better. And it kind of saddened me because I really went into it being like, oh, I do love this movie. And this podcast has ruined so many movies for me.
Countless movies this podcast has ruined. Countless. People today are like, how are you going to have the balls to go against? And they go, listen to your episode, man. Spot on assessment.
Yeah,
fucking on.
You know what? Because so many of these movies you don't rewatch. You just remember however you felt that moment. And then you just ride that throughout the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So there, like when we were going through this, like behind the scenes through email and everything, there's a handful of movies that are, first of all, I'll say this, your analogy about how Huff and Dobak, how they're cartoon characters playing in a real world. Like the cartoon analogy is just fucking perfect. And I feel like that's what it is for all of his movies.
But if you look at it, like to me, like Anchorman, everybody's existing as a cartoon in that movie.
Yes.
The whole movie is a cartoon.
Yes.
And so like it's almost more comfortable because you're like, all right, this whole thing is ridiculous. So, I get it.
Anchorman's definitely on the top echelon of I don't particularly like it, but I don't hate it at all.
Yeah.
I put it as like number one. That's the number one Will Ferrell film in my book is Anchorman, without question. Absolutely. I say that. Kevin, did you give a score yet? Because I think my
what happened. I didn't. I give it a 5.
Oh, wow, that's higher than I thought you were going to go with that.
I mean, it. You know, for me, it's literally a 5. Like, it's okay. I don't know that I'll ever go out to watch it again. If it's on, I might catch the scenes. But I don't hate it. I didn't hate watching it. But as I watched it, I was like, this is not nearly as good as I remembered.
Are you trying to tell me that it's fine? It's
yeah,
fine.
I was avoiding saying it. I was really dancing around saying it.
These notes, and I've got a lot, brought to you by, hey, if you're listening to this podcast, we thank you very much for your loyal listenership. Do us a favor. Go on iTunes. 5-star rating. 2-sentence review. Or wherever you listen to podcasts. Or on YouTube, where you can find us as well. But if you have not done so, please, 5 sentence, that's a lot. 5-star rating. 2-sentence review. Thank you so much. GuttingTheSacredCow.com. Onward. Notes. Mary Steenburgen is a sneaky hot older woman. How did we miss that one, guys? A lot hotter than now than she was back in as Doc Brown's girlfriend in Back to the Future 3. I'll say that. Dave, you took one of my notes. 85% of Will Ferrell's roles are an autistic man in his 40s.
Thank you.
100% of Rob Riggle's roles are the same yelling character. 0% of his roles I find amusing.
I think that's actually just Rob Riggle.
I've actually heard him on podcasts. See, I hate to fucking shit on your point. Actually, I do love shitting your point sometimes. He's on a lot of podcasts I listen to. He's actually a very smart, entertaining individual. Like he was in like the Navy, I think, and he was stationed in New York with 9/11 when that went down. He's a good dude to talk to and listen to on podcasts. His film roles are fucking the worst.
Because he's even like that when he does all his NFL commentary.
Yeah,
like
I don't watch pregame shows, and I've sworn off NFL pregame shows. I don't watch a fucking thing until it's kickoff because all those pregame shows are trash. These guys didn't do one thing they should have, and that's called forget improv and have a fucking script. The jokes are in the same vein, and none of them go above a peak level of a 7 for me. This film suffers from Fast Time at Ridgemont High syndrome, loses steam halfway through, and plummets downward like a wet pair of underwear.
Fast.
What's that?
And it's a fast plummet.
Did I mention how much I can't stand Rob Riggle? Okay, good. This feels, Kevin, you got me on this one too. This feels like one big improv game that goes on for 96 fucking minutes. And can we stop with the fucking Catalina wine mixer? It wasn't funny from jump, and it wasn't funny from time number 316.
Did you know that there that wasn't a real thing until this movie?
Yep.
And now it actually, there is a Catalina. Well, there was.
Great.
Lots of stuff.
I wish John C. Reilly took his axe from Gangs of New York and cut off Will Ferrell's head with it. The third act is devoid of laughs, but chock full of horse shit. It truly felt like one of those African dudes who ties weights to his scrotum and drags it around just to get in the Guinness Book of World Records. But this film didn't earn any distinction like good old Nutsack Dragger from Zimbabwe does. The Boats and Hoes song, it didn't need a reprise in the end. It needed an official burial. That fucking song stinks. That and Dick in the Box. Just go have a Viking funeral for both of those and be done with it.
Oh, by the way, then you know what you guys both need to see? I just remembered that I saw this.
If it's Hot Rod, I'll say go fuck yourself.
No. Will Ferrell did a Netflix movie about a Euro song competition.
Oh, you told me about this.
And they play Icelandic people, I think. And yeah. It is so incredibly bad. Dave, you got to watch it just so you can hate Will Ferrell more. Because
I love hate watching and hate listening to a lot of things. I just love hating.
It's such a bad movie. And Kev, to add to your point, I'm sick of them making Will Ferrell feels like he has to sing and everything.
You're right.
Because he can kind of sing. And he always tries to make it funny. And it's just like, it's just an overdone joke. Like, we get it. Yeah. You can sort of sing. You sing random songs. But it's just, doesn't work anymore.
If you listen to podcasts with people from improv, they always have the need to feel the sing or sing the punchline, which is why I fucking hate improv.
We will never sing on this podcast.
No, we will not.
John C. Reilly actually has a good voice, I think. I'll give him that.
John C. Reilly actually played drums in this film, and Will Ferrell actually sang, as we had just mentioned.
Yeah,
that's one fun fact I didn't give you guys.
Damn good guitarist, actually. Yeah. Oh.
So at the risk of sounding like a snooty asshole, surprise, I feel that this film is loved by dumb people. It does not have the staying power.
Yes.
I was nodding my head. As soon as you were going on, Dave, I was trying to play the slow roll here. This does not have the staying power that Anchorman does, or The House, which is underrated. I think it's kind of funny. But again, and I'll get to my point why, or The Other Guys does. This falls in the bargain bin of Will Ferrell films, like Ricky Bobby, like Night at the Roxbury, and like Blades of Glory. So I'm told. I've never seen Blades of Glory. I refuse to see anything with fucking Napoleon Dynamite in it. Will Ferrell is like diced jalapenos. You sprinkle them in a dish here and there, they're excellent. But I can't eat a jalapeno for fucking entire meal. I cannot do it. And let's go over the reasons why these guys, they still live at home. This, in the real world, ready to go, Kevin? This doesn't happen. The only reason you still live at home are because you're on Megan's Law's list, or you're the victim of a vicious divorce, or maybe you're the victim of Bernie Madoff scams, something like that. But at this point, the parents would kick you the fuck out, and then you'd end up turning tricks in a homeless shelter just to make a few bucks to support that one-bedroom studio apartment you have down on the Lower East Side.
Well, here's the thing, and I was going to ask you why you were making your comments. Do you think they could make this movie today? Because I feel like it's about two mentally handicapped people.
Yeah. Oh,
and the whole joke is about them being mentally handicapped, and the rest of the world is just not willing to intervene.
Right. Dave's throwing a dip, and I love it. I used to dip until I was 18. That's awesome.
I wish I only dipped until I was 18. But
hold on. Let me finish these notes up here. Here's an analogy, Kevin Israel, you're going to love. This film is like a street racer who hit the NOS button way too fast. This film was funny for a quarter of a mile. Too bad. This is the Indy 500, kids. And another point. Here's the biggest problem with the movie. Who's the funniest character in the film? It's not Will Ferrell. It's not John C. Reilly. It's Derek's wife, Catherine Hahn. She 100%. Stole this fucking movie. I laugh my balls off with all of her stuff. When they suck your dick for money when she jumps at him. All that shit. She's hilarious. How is the tertiary, not even the secondary, the tertiary character getting more and harder laughs than the two main characters did combined? This film is indeed, Dave Williams, worshipped by many dum-dums. And I, for the life of me, cannot understand why. So, as I said not even a week ago when your Barstool counterpart was on here, Frank the Tank, this film goes on Mount Rushmore of overrated films next to Fight Club. I said it. Oh, Fight Club is overrated as fuck.
Those are literal fighting words.
Yeah, well, I'll see you outside, motherfucker. That film is overrated as shit.
Well, now it's a two-on-one fight. So
that's fine. I got my crew. You bring yours. Overrated as fuck, this film. I give it a 3 out of 10. It dragged. That last half was like an albatross with 18 tires around his neck for me. I couldn't stand that last. It's like the last half. The first part, I was like, all right, I'm in, I'm out. It's okay. Here and there. I think, Dave, you heard the head. Dumb people revere this film. I don't get it. I know, and a ton of Will Ferrell films too. Way more bad than good. A few, but again, when he's not the focal point, it's good. This film is not good. It does not hold up. Before you come out and say you're wrong, asshole, go rewatch it again, as we all have right now. I guarantee you, it does not have that same luster on it that it did back in 2005 when it came out. This does not hold up like the likes of American Pie, Naked Gun, the aforementioned Dumb and Dumber. This film stinks.
I mean, that was – I don't really have much to add to that other than it's beautiful. I couldn't agree more.
Take a bow.
Other than the Fight Club, like, I don't understand where that's coming. I would love to hear your, like, rationale behind that.
You don't want to hear
it. Oh, yes, you do. You go on that latest episode of Gutting the Sacred Cow. I think it's episode 41 where, again, Frank the Tank from Barstool Sports takes on Fight Club. Overrated. Not bad, but overrated.
Like you said, like, the all Step Brothers is just straight improv. Like, when you get 5 or 10 minutes of improv in like, you know, 3+ hours or, you know, a movie length worth of scripted work, that works so much better than just straight improv, like, off the cuff.
Let's get to the critics' 5-star reviews. Let's see what the snobs think on this one, Kevin Israel.
Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews.
The shouty variety of man-child comedy that Ferrell has cribbed from Jerry Lewis divides movie fans intensely. Here's one we should put in the time capsule.
Huh. I would have never compared him to Jerry Lewis.
That's just bad. That guy should be fired or lose his job.
Step Brothers, obviously, isn't the most complex screenplay ever written, but Ferrell, McKay, and Riley, who all co-wrote the film, managed to milk out plenty of comedy of essentially a one-joke movie. Mm-hmm. On its own terms, Step Brothers is hilarious, but it's a shame that the filmmakers didn't have more faith in the audience. Why resort to gross-out tactics when your premise is strong enough to allow for a more sophisticated approach?
The thing that people try to seriously review this movie is painful.
This is – it could get better. Step Brothers is unashamedly dumb, unoriginal, and downright offensively childish. But aren't these the same very reasons why people love these movies?
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, even the 5-star reviews are semi-backhanded.
Yeah.
That just goes to show this is not as funny as a film.
I think Step Brothers is hilarious.
Say that again, Dave?
I'm like 13, 14 years old. I probably go to the movie theater sneaking because it's R-rated, right? I think it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm walking into the movie theater, you know, sneaking in, buying a ticket to go see whatever Disney movie and then going to the different theater to go see Step Brothers. I probably think it's funny. But I'm, you know, a 31-year-old male who lives alone. I don't think it's funny. I think it sucks.
Critics, 1-star reviews.
Critics, 1-star reviews. Critics, 1-star reviews.
We've been down this path before with Ferrell, and at this point, it feels like we're just walking in circles.
Boom.
That ranks as a major disappointment. Boom. That ranks as a major disappointment, considering the two goofballs portraying the title stepbrothers are usually good for at least a few laughs. For all the charm of its cast, Step Brothers simply runs too long, as almost do all Judd Apatow productions, and the humor becomes too repetitive. This is one of my favorites. Ferrell has the world's greatest job. Studios pay this guy enormous sums of money to stay in constant touch with this inner idiot, while mere mortals struggle day in and day out to keep our secret buffoon in check.
Well said.
That's actually pretty insightful.
Very much so. Once you take it to a certain point, it just goes flat, like sticking the big crescendo in between the first and second verses. Parallel thinking, huh? Despite valiant efforts from a seasoned cast, it fails to deliver the expected laughs. Was that rhyming? That's cute. Amazon 5-star reviews.
Amazon 5-star reviews. It's time for Amazon 5-star reviews. 5-star reviews.
Dum-dums who have the internet to spread their, you know, spread their gospel of stupidity. I was not prepared for the comedy assault that this movie provided. My friends had been begging me to see it since they knew I loved Talladega Nights, which I also was late in watching. I'm so glad I finally did. If you like Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, you will love this movie. It's raunchy, crude, rude, but I laughed so hard it hurt. So, and this is written by the person who sounds like they say the word idea instead of idea.
Washington.
You're going to get more hate mail on that one, huh, Kevin? Funny.
It drives me fucking crazy when my grandparents say Warsh. Like they.
That's a Midwest thing. I was actually born in Indiana, but my parents had the good common sense to move the fuck out when I was three. And my dad, his kryptonite is still, he'll still say that, even though we've been living here since 1980.
No. That's not a Midwest thing at all. It's the opposite. My grandparents in New Jersey, they say Warsh.
I've never heard anyone say in Jersey Warsh. Kevin, have you?
Yeah.
Have you really? I have not. Yeah. Okay.
We're, especially in Chicago, we're known for elongating our A's like Washington or wash the clothes.
Right. Hmm. Now I admit, I love Will Ferrell. Do I love all his movies? Not necessarily. Was dragged to Holmes and Watson the other day and thought it was terrible. However, it did trigger my son to rent this movie last night. He is a high school freshman and thought it was funny. He said Neighbors, which he rented as well, was funnier. But apparently, this is better than the awful Sherlock Holmes movie they took me to on Christmas. Movies and Christmas. Okay, we get it. You're Jewish or Asian. No need to bring Brace into this there, buddy.
That was a 5-star review?
Yes.
That didn't sound like a 5-star. That sounded like
a 3.
It was better than a terrible movie.
I like how he likes Neighbors, which is also a terrible film.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Don't rush. They made a sequel, too. I should begin by saying I consider myself a lady, in quotes. For the most part, I try to hold my composure and have poise. Typically, when a man in the room laughs at bare balls on our television screen, I will roll my eyes. But this movie may have changed that. I was a teenager when it came out and went to watch it with my family. All I can remember is how hysterically loud my father and brother laughed throughout the entire film. My family is one of those families that gets in a movie theater and angers all the other families with their obnoxiously loud laughter. But during this movie, everyone was laughing, so we fit right in. Even my mother, who refuses to even use a public bathroom, parentheses, everything repulses her, was laughing at this film. It had parts where we were literally choking on our popcorn. And folks, this is why this guy right here goes to the movies at 10:30 in the morning to avoid people who laugh like De Niro did in Cape Fear.
And that was written by Will Ferrell's mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Or Will Ferrell himself with burner accounts.
Step Brothers is a breath of fresh air, and even funnier is Talladega Nights. I feel inclined to see Everything Is Done, putting him in a category with Marlon Brando, Matt Damon, and Philip Seymour Hoffman. He has truly risen to become one of Hollywood's greatest actors. Wait till this guy watches anything with Rebel Wilson. He may have to bump Brando off that list.
First of all, they put Marlon Brando, Philip Seymour Hoffman in with Matt Damon?
Uh-huh.
Is this a user review or like...
These are all user reviews.
Amazon reviews.
What's his screen name? Like Linus from Ocean's 11 at AOL.com? That was Matt Damon's character in Ocean's 11. Okay. Don't explain it, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I love Ocean's 11 and 13. Those are guilty pleasures. I will watch the fuck out of those.
11's great. I have only seen 13 once. It's been like a decade, though.
I love it. I love 13. 12 stinks, though. I hate the one where they go to Amsterdam. Not good. Amazon 1-star reviews. Our favorite.
Amazon 1-star reviews.
I dislike the fact that you would think it would be appropriate for children based on the idea of the movie, but it was not. I would appreciate a credit as we watched maybe 5 minutes of the movie and then had to turn it off. Everyone on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. That didn't happen. No one gives a movie 5 minutes and then bails. 30 minutes is my mark. And if I'm out, then if I hate it, then I'm out. I dare say 15 minutes is the absolute bare bones minimum you need to give a film before you bail. But I give 30. Kevin, what's your limit of demarcation?
If I make it 30 minutes into a movie, I'm watching the rest of the movie.
Really?
It's gotten shorter lately. I about 10 minutes.
Really? You have a hair trigger.
Yeah.
Dave, what about you? How fast do you pull the shoot if it
sucks? No, because all right. So I saw Joker in theaters. I wanted to do that movie so fucking bad because I fucking hated that movie.
See, we both love it. We thought it was fantastic. By the way, Joker. And damn it, what's the other one everyone wants to? Oh, Batman's not a Batman super, but Joker is easily the number one most requested film, being that we've done it, 4 months ago. But yeah, funny.
But it's different now because, all right, prior to that, so I saw Joker in theaters. Then prior to that, I saw Moneyball in theaters. I saw Django and Inglourious Bastards in theaters. And then before that, I couldn't even tell you. So I don't go, because Netflix, everything's readily available. I can just turn off Netflix, you know? But going to the movie theater is a whole event. So if I make it 30 minutes, which I'm always 100% of the time going to make it 30 minutes for a movie, at that time I'm like, fuck it. I paid, you know, this is like a $30 plus night. I'm here. I made it a point to go on a Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, whatever day of the week it is. You might as well stay.
So I'll just have ever walked out of a theater.
I have. Next one. I can't even begin to describe what a terrible movie this is. Signed, someone who is mute.
You've got no adjectives?
None. Yeah, exactly. They took the time to write that sentence, but said, I can't describe it. Sure you can. Use that itty-bitty little brain of yours. Next one, a total waste of an afternoon. I mean, it's only 97 minutes, guys. Did this guy watch it 4 fucking times to eat up an entire afternoon?
He was so upset. He's like, well, now I just have to sit here and be angry.
That's how I am, though. Like, I like to hate things, which is weird, but, like, if I'm at a movie I absolutely fucking hate, I'd rather watch the whole thing so I at least know what happened the whole movie, so I could bitch about it on the internet.
This is these next three are so 5-star ratings in my book. 5 1-star ratings. LCD humor, signed black and white TV. I think you meant to put LSD humor, but
yeah, that's, I knew what he was getting at.
LCD. I was like, I can't miss this one. We hated this movie. Probably an age thing, but this movie is a parent's worst nightmare. Too much stupid for our taste. The fart scene was humorous, though. Signed, Mr. or Miss Contradiction.
All right. So there's been a few, all right, that's the second one. It's not for kids. I think that's what they were kind of saying right there. It's a fucking rated R movie. Who's taking their kids to see that? You know,
we find that a lot. We just did Ace Ventura not long ago. People were incensed that there was this and that, but it's like, it's PG-13 or it's R. Right. That's the reason they have these ratings, dumb.
Can't believe they kept all the sexual references. Yeah, it's a rated R movie, asshole. It says adult situations beforehand. What'd you think was going to happen?
Yeah. And the last one, which is always my favorite. I got this as a gift for a friend in Spain because the seller advertised the language as being available in English, French, Spanish, Portuguese. It's not. It's in English only. Ha! Joke's on you, King Juan Carlos, America! Kevin Israel, did Dave Williams get the sacred cow?
Yes.
Usually you have more of a buildup.
I know. You know what? I was thinking about going into the whole thing. Yeah, no, he did. He was aided by the fact that I got to rewatch the movie again, and I just didn't like it nearly as much. I don't think, you know, had this movie, I'm going to fucking contradict myself. If this movie was just always considered a passable comedy, it wouldn't have been a gutting, but then we wouldn't have been talking about it in the first place.
Exactly.
But because this movie is considered one of those fucking epic comedy movies that every pro quotes, and on rewatching it didn't hold up, and then hit with Dave's arguments. I think this was a group gutting, a mass gutting. This was an orgy of gutting. But yeah, no, you pulled it off. You killed this one, and I hope everybody listens to this episode and realizes the truth about this movie.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are the pros at speaking off the cuff, I know you guys preparing everything, but some of the analogies, like I said, that like I'm going to direct them to this episode and be like, hey, like listen to what they're saying. Like you could package, it was a 96 long movie, so hour and a half long movie, you could package like all the funny into like maybe 5 or 7 minutes of the entire movie.
Yeah, have a supercut and save us the.
That definitely exists on YouTube. Somebody did that.
Sizzle reel. Otherwise, like, oh yeah, it'd be good. You know,
a few
dick and fart jokes. But yeah, the problem with this, like I said, the funniest person was his wife, was his brother's wife by far. Not even close. It was a mile how funny, much funnier she was than everybody else was in that fucking film. So that's my problem.
Hilarious.
What's that?
Adam Scott. I thought he was, I don't want to say hilarious. I thought he was probably, and his wife. Yeah. They were the two funniest people in the movie.
Yeah.
But you know what? Both of them were funny because they weren't that ridiculous of characters. Adam Scott was just a douchebag, a cocky douchebag who I know people like that. I do a podcast.
I know a million people.
And, eat a dick.
and his wife was also like this fucking horny woman that was trapped in a shitty marriage. Like, you get it. Like, you kind of got who they were. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, like we've all said, nobody exists like, I mean, other than people who actually are handicapped. There's nobody like that out there.
No.
Yeah, and they're wiping down the tables at McDonald's like, and they have a job. It's not like they don't do anything.
Yeah.
Dave Williams, where can we find you? Shout it out once again.
Barstool Chicago. So people, like a lot of people, I don't want to say a lot, but some people assume that myself and our three guys out in Chicago are in the New York office. But no, we're just Barstool Chicago. We have our own office in the city. Sirius XM channel 85 every day, 2 to 3 PM Central, 3 to 4 Eastern, on Twitter at Barstool WSD. And then, I mean, I do Instagram, but I suck ass at it. I'm like the Will Ferrell of Instagram.
You mean you're funny and dribs and drabs on it?
I'm not funny at all in it. I'm just like, I post a lot of pictures of like when I go home to my dad's house, like I'll post a picture of his dog.
Oh.
Yeah, people like dogs, though, I guess. So it's not...
Heart-hitting issues, I see.
But yeah, that's basically it. Otherwise, I'm just kind of low-key, I guess. I don't know.
Kevin Israel, where can we find you?
KevinIsrael.com. As comedy's slowly trickling in, there might be more opportunities. Or as comedy's closing in New York, there might not be more opportunities. Who the fuck knows what's going on? We all just might be living in our houses for the rest of our lives. But if you are... You can go get my comedy album, The Struggle is Real, on iTunes and everywhere else you get audio. And let's just hope that people get back some sanity and we open up comedy clubs again.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com. Don't forget, every Monday through Friday, we've got new blog pieces coming up for you. Don't forget as well, KevinGoatee.com. NFL season fast approaching. KevinGoatee.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. But again, can't stop repeating this. Go to GuttingTheSacredCow.com. Grab a shirt, bag, hat, whatever. Also, if you're a fan, which I know you are, just give us that 5-star rating, 2-sentence review. We need it. This sounds so dumb. I talked to a guy for an hour and a half today on the phone who has a ton of following on this podcast. Why? Because everyone wrote him a review. Please, that's all we're asking. Just a 5-star rating, 2-sentence review. This does help, and we get more advertisers out of it this way. But in the meantime, Dave Williams, thank you so much for joining us on awesome. Gutting the Sacred Cow. Well done, sir. Enjoy your gutting trophy that will be coming never, because we don't have the trophies up. But thanks again for doing the Gutting the Sacred Cow. We'll see you all next time. Take care.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.